I'm sure you've all experienced the phenomenon of the yearly physical, going to the doctor, having him poke and prod and make sure everything's working how it's supposed to. One of the things that always sticks out to me is when he sticks that teeny tiny little sight into your ear and he's poking around in there trying to see what's going on. As a kid who experienced a lot of ear infections, and I'm someone who's acutely aware of how your ear can go wrong. There's a lot of pain that can come from just a tiny little part of your ear. And those inner parts of your ear are essential for your balance as well. I remember a time in high school where I had such a bad ear infection that I was unable to hear for a period of time and was a little bit wobbly. And you think about it, and it's such a small, such an insignificant, seemingly insignificant part of your body. And yet, when that goes wrong, so much else goes wrong too. And you would think that being such an important part of your body, why does it get hid away? Nobody ever sees it except for the doctor when he sticks his little scope in there. Nobody ever knows what your inner ear looks like. I'd think if I was the part of the inner ear, perhaps I'd want a higher prestige place. I mean, he's pretty important. Why not put him right there in the middle of your forehead or maybe like on your chest or something like that? He's pretty important. He deserves to get some credit, some notoriety. Bear with me. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians. This is a church that's in complete disarray. There's scandals in the church. Paul says the scandals in the church make the rest of the world look okay by comparison. There's divisions in the church. The different members have their favorite pastor, their favorite preacher, their favorite apostle who they're following. They have ways of doing things that they want to do it. There's all this constant infighting. Paul even cites the fact that there's those who deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, the core tenet of what our faith teaches. And in this all, there's also this sense of spiritual elitism. There's some that say, well, we're the really important ones. We're the ones who should be getting the limelight. We're the ones who have our name, who should have our name up on lights. And others who say, well, I don't really know what I contribute to this body. I don't really feel like I'm significant at all. Our reading this morning starts in chapter 12, verse 12. But if you go back to the beginning of chapter 12, Paul says that he's writing concerning spiritual persons. You had these two levels of Christians in the church at Corinth. And you had those who said, we are the spiritual ones. We have spiritual gifts. We have special responsibilities. We have. And they looked down on others. We are more spiritual than you because. And as a result, those who seemed less spiritual looked up and said, We must be less spiritual. We must not be as special as they are. I wish we could be like the rest of them. We don't fit in. Paul combats these two ideas in our reading this morning. And he does it with this extended metaphor of a body. And throughout the passage, Paul shows the relatedness of the individual members to the body as a whole. And he says, so it is with Christ. Take a look at that second paragraph in there. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. There's this idea of this is the downside of it. There's the people saying, you know what, I'm not really that important. I'm just an ear, I'm just a nose, I'm not important. I'm just an inner ear bone. What do I have to offer? And Paul is saying there's three times we see Paul speaking of God's actions at work here. Paul mentions what God has done. And so when we get to the bottom of there of that section, it says, but as it is, God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. So he's showing that there needs to be diversity in the body, just as in our physical bodies. If our entire body was just one big nose, we're not going anywhere, we're not walking. I feel kind of like Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a sketch here of comedy. But that's the idea, is that we all can't be the same thing. And God has appointed diversity. So the fact that you might feel that you're not needed, Paul's saying no. The body needs diversity. The flip side of that is that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head to the feet can't say, I don't need you. The head seems pretty important, seems like a vital part of your body, and of course it is. But just because it is doesn't mean it can dismiss the rest of the body. And so God has arranged members to be one body, diversity for unity. And he's also arranged that in order for there to be unity, there has to be diversity, there has to be interdependence. The important folks need the not so important folks, or the seemingly not so important folks. That's how it works. In fact, he goes on, but God has so arranged the body that there may be no dissension with the body, but the body members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Finally, Paul wraps up. He says, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, unity and diversity. And God has appointed, again, God has arranged for diversity, God has arranged for unity, and God has appointed in the church. And then he lists these various roles that function in the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, those with deeds of power, those with gifts of healing, those who are able to assist, those who are able to lead, those who are able to speak in various tongues. The reason you have this unity and this diversity is for functionality. If you just have diversity with no direction, it's chaos. And if you just have unity without parts, it's stagnant. And so God is calling together diversity, those to be diverse into one, and the one to be interdependent on all, so that there can be functionality. That these roles and these folks can exist on different levels to further the body of Christ. At the end of the section here, we have this seemingly odd phrase, but strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Wait a minute, Paul, it seems like you just spent, 18, 19 verses telling us that we're interdependent and we all need each other, and so how can there be greater gifts, and what's this more excellent way? Maybe we are missing out on something. We don't have it in our reading this morning, but what follows 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 13. It kind of works that way. And 1 Corinthians 13, we probably recognize from weddings and other occasions. It's the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And we read that, especially in the context of marriages, and it's a lovely picture. But Paul didn't have a wedding in mind when he was writing that. He had this body, these people who could not get along, people who thought they were better off without others, people who thought because they weren't highlighted, because they weren't special, they must be useless. And so this excellent way, this greater gift that Paul has in mind is love. Diversity is fantastic. It allows the body to do many different things, but if those things are not done in love, then it's for naught. And that's Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about clanging gongs and crashing cymbals. Just like in music and orchestra, and everyone needs to play their part and play it well and play it according to their purpose, or else it's just noise. And so without the self-sacrificial, self-giving aspect of love, it doesn't matter what your gift is, it's going to be chaos. So God has appointed diversity, he's arranged for diversity in the body, he's arranged for wholeness in the body, and he's done so that there's functionality, so that church works together. Today is our annual meeting, and going back to the idea of a yearly physical, that's a little bit of what we're doing today. We're taking stock of the spiritual gifts and the roles here in this parish, here in this body that is Christ Church. And we look at this body and we say, where is there health? Where is there things growing? Where is there excitement? Where are good things going on? But we also look and say, where is there pain? Where is there disease? Where are the things that need improving that aren't right? And just like how one little tiny part of your body, and I can attest to this if you've never experienced it before, just how one little part of the body, if it's diseased or in pain, affects the rest of your body, you'd think that just a small part, I'm just going to ignore that pain, it's just a small part of my body. No, it messes you up. It puts you in bed. You're off balance. If things aren't right in the body, it's disaster. And so we look at where there's health, where there's pain, what areas we need to keep an eye on. And this work of evaluation has been done by many members of the congregation, by Cynthia and I as clergy, by the vestry, by committee chairs, and have brought all these together and gotten the microscopes out, gotten the little tubes out, and looked in all these crevices of what it is to be Christ Church, and said, how are we doing? Where is their health? Where is their pain? And so as we go and meet following this service, we have an overview. We don't have time to get down into the nitty-gritty of every single thing in our meeting, but you get a big picture of, are we healthy? Are we struggling? What's going on? But then you also have in the annual report that's distributed that you're able to read, you can go in and say, okay, what about that inner ear? What about that kneecap? What about that? Let's check out the details of what's going on. And as we do, we see that we are interdependent. There is the body here at Christ Church. And we see where we can offer ourselves to each other in love, out of sacrifice, out of giving to each other, and say, where can I plug myself in? Where can I help the body to be healthier? And I'd urge you to do that as we go. See what is missing and see how you can get transplanted into what God is doing here in Macon through the body that is Christ Church. Amen.